When you consider our world from such a compressed perspective, the need for acceptance, understanding, and gratitude becomes glaringly apparent. So therefore, it concludes, if you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the world. Just that. Doesn't that call for some gratitude? If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million who will not survive this week because of illness. If you have money in your bank, any money in the bank, or even in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace in your life, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. 92% of the people don't have that. If you can attend a church meeting without fear, that is, fear of arrest or torture or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. And if you've never experienced the danger of battle or the loneliness of imprisonment or the agony of torture or the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in the world today. If your parents are still alive or still married, you are very rare, even in the United States. So, if you have the opportunity to think as you choose to think, to worship as you choose to worship, and you have a little bit of change in your pocket, and you've got your health, and you've got someone that cares about you, then you have an awful lot to be grateful for. And treasuring our divinity means being in a constant state of appreciation, looking for occasions to be joyful, to be happy, to be in a state of gratitude. Every time I find a penny or a nickel or a dime on the street, anytime, I bend over, I pick it up, and I say, "Thank you, God," as a reminder of the abundance that flows into my life when I'm just walking and breathing. Treasuring your divinity doesn't mean not having respect for God. It means respecting the God that is always with you. This principle is called wisdom is avoiding all thoughts which weaken you. And I want to expand upon that. I've talked about it throughout this program, but I want to expand upon it and give some specifics. Much of it, of course, is based upon the wonderful research of a man I've come to admire enormously. His name is David Hawkins. He's a medical doctor. And he lives in Sedona, Arizona. And he's written a couple of books that I have recommended and purchased. I've purchased 11,000 copies of Power Versus Force and had them distributed throughout my talks and throughout the country. And Hay House, I'm proud to say, who publishes this program, is also publishing that book. And it took a while to convince him to do that. One of the things that he did was he calibrated and tested all of Louise Hay's work and their company and the people that were there before he would allow them to publish it. He's also written another book, which is much more in depth. It's called The Eye of the Eye, the EYE of the Eye. And it's just been released, and I'm encouraging Hay House to take that one as well. Subtitle of that is The Eye of the Eye, From Which Nothing is Hidden. And I would like to share my understanding of some of this and apply my own thoughts to it, giving always credit and tribute where it belongs to someone who has spent a good part of his professional life in creating what he calls a map of consciousness.